Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 16 of the Big Apple Sports Media Podcast. My name is Anthony Evangelista, as always, here with Kyle Keegan. How are you today, Kyle?
They finally won something, or one of us finally won something. There's officially one win in New York football after 6 weeks of play. So I think we all deserve a round of applause for being troopers.
Yeah, that's something new, something I wasn't really expecting this early in the season. I mean, maybe like week 10, week 11, but
yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, I'm just waiting for that Jets Chiefs game.
God,
I'm just waiting on it. Didn't the Jets beat the Chiefs last year?
Did they? Was that last year? I think. I don't know. Not last year. I don't.
It happened. I it might have been last year. You beat the Super Bowl champs, I'm pretty sure. You're better than the Niners.
Well.
Right? Am I tripping? No, it wasn't last. Wait, maybe it was.
No, I feel like it happened.
Now I feel inclined to look.
Jets, Chiefs, 20. No, that was 2017.
Oh. Okay.
Yes, we did win. But yeah. Back then, the Chiefs were 6-6 and run by Alex Smith.
Okay, whatever. That's besides the point. So, we'll talk about the winning team first, right? I feel like we have to.
Yeah. Yeah, let's start with the Giants.
Yeah, the Giants won. The Giants probably didn't deserve to win, but the Giants won. So that's exciting. They won 20-19 over the Washington Footballers. Ron Rivera went for two at the end of the game for some reason. Did you catch any of the Giants game?
Yeah, I watched a good majority of it. I was at my grandma's house.
Dude, what was Ron Rivera doing? Like,
look, I respect that decision.
I do too, but if it's like the Giants' offense was terrible in the second half, it didn't make any sense.
Yeah, I mean, look, they probably just wanted to get the game over with. They thought that they would be able to have the offensive advantage. Look, I like that kind of situation in terms of analytics because you have a higher chance right there of getting a two-yard gain and then winning the game right there instead of going into overtime, risk losing the coin toss, risk either throwing a pick or something like that. Or just in general, the Giants scoring, where you want to just kind of have that set, okay, we're either going to win right now or we're going to lose right now. So I respect the decision.
Uh-huh. I mean, I understand the decision. I respect the decision. In that given moment where the Giants' offense was stalled the whole second half, Daniel Jones is still making ill-advised, stupid throws, and, like, the Redskins offense seemed to be on a roll. I was like, I don't know why you wouldn't want to kick that game into overtime in that instance. Like, I respect the aggressiveness if you're not like Washington and like it's a divisional game. And I felt like in most games it would make more sense than it did in that instance. And obviously it's like, oh, he's a genius if it works. But like that play call was also just, I mean, the Giants had it locked up. Like they did a fantastic job by the Giants. That was the best defense they played all day was on that last play. They just locked everywhere up. Kyle Allen had nowhere to go.
Stepping up when necessary. I respect
that. Yeah, and then, yeah, it was a clutch play. So, I mean, all I can really do as a Giants fan, we're recording this on Tuesday, so Dallas got smacked last night. We're one game out of being in first place, and this Giants team is definitely in the bottom 10 talent-wise in the league. But –
That's insane. You guys are one win away from first place after playing absolutely.
I know. No, listen. I recognize that that's crazy. By the refs last Sunday, they would be in first place. So that's even crazier. Like,
you're insane.
Dallas stinks without Dak Prescott. Everyone except Carson Wentz on the Eagles' offense is just dead, and we just beat Washington. So like, anything is possible. I still think that. Talent-wise, Dallas and Philly both definitely edged the Giants. Washington's not good. Like, that's no surprise. But, like, the Giants obviously aren't good either. But talent-wise, the Eagles and Cowboys are way ahead of the Giants, yet the Giants were competitive with the Cowboys. That was when they had Dak Prescott, they were competitive with the Cowboys. And now they're playing a bruised-up, battered Eagles team in Philadelphia on limited capacity. And, like, listen, like, that's a winnable game, especially because they're 1-5, but obviously playing the what if game never really works. But like if the Giants score one more touchdown in three of those games, they're 4-2. Like, listen, they're not talent wise a 4-2 football team. I understand that. They haven't done anything yet to prove to me that they're good enough to be playing at a 4-2 caliber level after the first 6 weeks, but nonetheless, they've been in almost every game except the Niners game. They've been in every game. And they're playing up a demoralized, bruised up Philly team. with a chance to make a statement and bunny hop them into second place, and then with the Dallas loss into first. So
I just want to say, in terms of the NFC East, the Giants are probably, I can't say the most well-run because upper management isn't good, but the best coach.
But Joe Judge has been doing a pretty good job. Like,
I love Joe Judge.
The culture he's put together has been very nice.
Exactly, because you look at this team and you don't see that amount of hatred towards the coaching staff. You don't see that kind of like disconnect between the coaches and the players, even though that you're 1-5.
I mean, it seems like the young players are buying in, and I like that in almost like Coughlin-esque regime, he's holding his players accountable. For example, Andrew Thomas, who hasn't been great, he's been fine. Like, you'd like to see more from your fourth overall pick. He got benched to start the game because he was late to a Saturday night team meeting. When asked about it, he was like, yep, I learned my lesson, it won't happen again. He was held accountable, and he got to come back in the game, and he played all right. So that's what I like to see.
And also, with the NFC East, the coaching situations are just not good. I mean, look, Ron Rivera is a great all-time coach. He's dealing with his own personal health issues and stuff like that. Washington just does not have the talent right now. That's not really on him. I think Mike McCarthy and the Cowboys management has done a terrible job this season. Just because, like, this report came out earlier today that after their – right now they are 2-4. They got blown out last night. And here, let me see if I could pull it up. But pretty much the players, like, kind of – it got leaked out that the players are not happy at all with anything about the coaching staff.
And they weren't happy with Garrett either last year. Like, it's almost like – it's every year, like, with something with the Cowboys the last 25 years, it's just – there's a new – there's something, it's like there's something fishy going on down there every time. So.
And here's the thing. Everyone was like, yeah, Jason Garrett's the problem. Jason Garrett's the problem. Right now,
really, he's not.
A player said the coaching staff is totally unprepared. They don't teach. They don't have any sense of adjusting on the fly. And they aren't good at their jobs. Hearing that from players.
Interesting. And also, like, as I watched all of Monday Night Football last night. Because, as you guys know, I'm a big Kyler Murray guy. So I watched all of Monday Night Football last night. Also rooting against Dallas, obviously.
I fell asleep.
They talked in the beginning of the show about Dak coming to visit and how it meant a lot to those guys. And then Andy Dalton follows that performance up with just, like, pooping the bed completely. Like, he was terrible. Ezekiel Elliott fumbled twice. If you're a running back and you fumble twice, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Like, in a season, that's not good. In a game, in a half, in a quarter, it's even worse.
Yeah, like, it's not something you want to see.
It seems like even though the Cowboys got that big win over the Giants, which was BS, as we all know, 2 weeks ago, and now their best player is injured, Dak Prescott, and they just got smacked by a young up-and-coming team that was a lot more prepared, well-rounded, probably not as talented just yet, and they just got smacked by them at home. And that's got to be embarrassing. Like, I don't know what the wake-up call is going to be for these guys because they just seem, like, completely demoralized. And obviously I'm biased towards this because I'm a Giants fan, but even when they were losing games, like, they have the body language, the insufferable – there's no drama, finally. And it just – there's nothing bad happening right now in Giant Land other than the fact that the team has been losing. There's no background. There's no brass, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I completely agree.
So, it'll be interesting. Ultimately, it comes down to if they have a good performance on Thursday night, which I might be going to, actually, just for the listeners
That's
to know
insane.
That.
That's insane. The idea of you being at a football game right now is just so weird to think about. Just because, like, obviously.
I'm so excited, man, because yeah, they're letting the fans in. It's really, like, I hope it goes through. I hope it goes through.
Me too. I'm rooting for you, bro.
Yeah, so. I guess we can preview that Eagles game a little bit because we finally only have football to talk about. So it's not like we need to be like fitting in segments or anything. So everyone on the Eagles offense is hurt except Carson Wentz and I think one other guy, but I'm not even sure who it is. Maybe like one of their offensive linemen.
Eagles?
Yeah. I think Ertz is hurt now. Sanders is hurt.
Sanders is out. Ertz is out.
Jalen
Reagor.
Yeah. Reagor's on the IR. Alshon Jeffrey hasn't played in a while. Neither has who's their wide receiver too?
Wide receiver too. I mean, if you want to say JJ Arcega Whiteside, but he hasn't really done much other than pick up a Miles Sanders fumble for a touchdown.
Oh yeah.
Like, killed me in fantasy.
Marquise Goodwin. That's who else is out.
I didn't even realize he was on their team.
He's been out the whole year. Yeah.
Is he out for COVID?
Jackson. That's who. DeSean
Jackson's coming back.
That's who we forgot. I don't think he's playing, though.
I thought it said he was coming back this week.
Expected back. He's been limited in practice, so I bet it'll be a game-time decision. Nonetheless, if he's their only, like, receiving threat, I'm pretty confident in James Bradbury. He's been very good, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we'll see. And then their whole offensive line is hurt as well. So, their defense, their front four is fantastic. Their secondary, they have, like, Darius Slay, a few other guys. Like, they're good, but, like, they've been underperforming, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think that's – yeah, like, Rodney McLeod, Jalen Mills, like, they've been underperforming a little bit. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. Like, anything's – if the Giants are going to win in Philadelphia, this is the year for them to
do. Yeah, 100%. Just
because they haven't won in Philadelphia in so long. I think it's been 7 years.
Has it really?
Yeah, it's been seven years, and they've lost 13 of 14 against them in six in a row. So the Eagles have had the Giants number for a long time.
One of the greatest games that I've ever watched is the second miracle at the Meadowlands with the DeSean Jackson punt return.
Yeah, well, guess who won the Super Bowl the year after? So, you know what? I'll just say this about Eagles fans, and, like, I have full – do you remember 2 years ago when I did my my commentary about how I thought Eagles fans were, like, the worst fans on earth?
Yes.
I stand by that still. That's why I swore I'd never step in to Lincoln Financial Field in a Giants jersey, because I have a 90% chance less of getting my ass beat this time because there's 10% capacity.
Hey, you still got to watch out, though. I mean,
I know I do, because you see, like Dave Portnoy's posting videos of, like, Eagles fans in the background. There's, like, go Birds. It's like, listen, I live in South Jersey. Eagles fans, individually, I'm sure most of them are pleasant, wonderful human beings. And they're,
you sure about
that? Enjoy the company. Let me finish. Individually, I'm sure that they are nice, wonderful people, a great majority of them, that I would enjoy the company of if we're not talking about football. Because they are delusional when it comes to football. Because your team has an organization of losing. Like, a history of just being losers. Yet you talk more trash than anyone to Giants and Cowboys fans. And now the Giants have sucked the last decade, or, like, the greater part of the last decade. Still miles and miles and miles ahead, way better organization than yours. Here's the second part of my point. When you put 70,000 Eagles fans together in a stadium, I have very good confidence in the point that they are probably the worst group of people on earth at that given time grouped together.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Those, they are so ridiculous. Like, and I'm going to get witness it firsthand. Like, I've been to Giants-Eagles game at MetLife Stadium. Even when it's 10% Eagles fans there, or 20%, or however many people decide to make the trip up to North Jersey, they are some of the most obnoxious, annoying, rude people you've ever met.
No,
and we're from New York, and we're saying that. And I'm aware that I'm a Yankees fan, and Yankees fans are jerks. Yankees fans usually have something good to be talking about. Because I hate using 27 as an excuse, and I would never use it in a legitimate argument. But once again, the Yankees have a history of winning. The Eagles might milk their single championship more than the 2008 Celtics milked theirs, which is hilarious. And that's saying a lot. So, yeah, I'll be in Philadelphia probably. Come get me. I'm not afraid of you. just kidding.
We'll have a eulogy for Keegan next week on
this
episode about him.
Yeah, I kind of just went on a tangent there for a couple minutes. Listen, I know my Eagles fan friends that are watching this. Listen, I love you individually. You as a group are the worst, and I don't like any of you when it comes to football because I don't respect you. that's my two piece about it. So, yeah, the Giants won. 1-5. They beat the Redskins. They beat the Washington football team. I apologize. That just out. And, on to Philly. Hopefully get a win. Move into first place. So you got anything left to add before we talk about the other team?
Look, I am very happy. So, in kind of a segue to the Jets, I am kind of happy. Not that I'm happy that the Giants won because of you. Because, like, yeah, I mean, obviously I want to see some.
Also, if the Giants somehow win the division, go 6-10 and get a home playoff game, that's great content.
That is very, very funny.
Yeah,
but the fact that the Jets right now are the only winless team in all of the NFL because the Giants and Falcons won, brings us one step closer to Trevor Lawrence.
That's right. That's right. And I'm officially dropping out of the tank for Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes as a Giants fan.
After winning one game, you say.
And I will hand the baton off to you because we're not going to lose more games than you, I don't think.
Oh, no. Well, the Jets aren't going to win any games, so you're fine.
Exactly. Like, I don't – even when we were both 0-5 or 0-1 or whatever, like, there was never a time that I thought that the Giants would lose more games than the Jets.
No, the Giants are –
I hope I don't eat my words for that.
No, the Giants are in a much better spot than the Jets. And honestly, in a segue to the Jets right now, I think that if the Jets want Trevor Lawrence, what the formula is just keep Adam Gase for the rest of the season and just completely tear the organization apart.
I mean,
look.
Like, what are you thinking about, like, keeping Adam Gase around? Like, even other than Sam Darnold, it's just such a detrimental step back.
That's what I'm saying.
Any type of progress organization-wide.
Adam Gase is a cancer to the team. And all his players think that. The other coaches think that. During the game on Sunday, he got into a fight with defensive coordinator Greg Williams because Greg Williams before the game said that they weren't playing good football, and which isn't
wrong. People tell you're not playing good football. Like,
the Jets have played their worst football in the entirety of me ever watching them in the past decade or so.
Yeah.
Right now, this is the second time the Jets have ever started 0-6, with the first time being in 1996 when they were under Rich Kotite, when they went 1-15, which is their worst record of all of franchise history.
Uh-huh.
I genuinely can say Adam Gase is the worst Jets head coach in history. And
I think that's probably true. At this
because,
point.
Look, there have been terrible Jets coaches, but they've never been this bad. They have never had this kind – because, look, the Jets going into this season or last season had some hope, had some talent on their team, and just everything about it is now gone. Every single talented player we've either traded away or cut, every single possibility of a talented player of in terms of development hasn't happened. People are saying keep Gase around for Darnold.
Here's I understand that argument in the aspect that like three head coaches in 3 years is terrible for a young quarterback's development, but like,
look, you need somebody new.
Yeah, and like the funny thing is that like, dude, Adam Gase was bad everywhere. Like, he wasn't just bad with the Jets; he was bad everywhere.
Everywhere.
And this is just the icing on the cake. Like, he's just not a good head coach, and I don't understand what they're seeing in him at this point at all.
I can't
like,
believe.
Unless they're trying to lose, which is still dumb. Like, get rid of him. Like, getting rid of him is like they've dug in a deep. They've digged a hole so deep that like it just getting rid of him would just be better. Like, still, right?
I think getting rid of Adam Gase is what this team needs to have some sort of normalcy in the locker room. If that makes sense. Like,
yeah,
right
that
now,
does make sense.
All the Jets players absolutely hate the management because of this man. Nobody likes Adam Gase. And not to mention the fact that this is tarnishing Joe Douglas's reputation as well. Because I believe that Joe Douglas, our GM, is a very solid general manager. He had a good draft this year, barring any injuries or anything like that. I believe that he's good at negotiating. He got us a lot more than we needed for the Jamal Adams trade. And I think that overall, he is a good GM when it comes to everything. But the fact that right now, the Jets are putting all the eggs in their basket into Adam Gase is making him look terrible. And it's not like Joe Douglas could be like, okay, I want him gone, because they both report to management, to ownership, which is not how it should be. But the fact that Chris and Woody Johnson have complete control over this team when – in reality, it should be more of like a shared power type thing. But the fact that they have complete power and they're in love with Gase for some reason means that it's never going to happen.
Yeah. Like, I just don't understand how they think that the development of Adam – like, if Adam Gase is still the head coach after this season, that's really, really bad.
I think that they
should have. And so getting rid of him, I don't understand what the biggest difference between getting rid of him in the middle of the season and getting rid of him like now is like, or getting rid of him at the end of the season, like, I don't understand what the biggest difference is going to be, because you're still going to have a different head coach next year anyway.
Exactly.
Right?
And, like, honestly,
so, like, just get rid of him now, because he's a bum.
The year that the Browns fired Hugh Jackson and let Greg Williams take over as interim head coach was their best, like, hype train of pretty much all of Brown's history.
Didn't they go, like, 7-8-1, they finished, and they, like, kind of went on a bit of a run? So, exactly, like, even if you don't want to keep Greg Williams around for next year, because that might not be the best long-term fit, like, would you rather the Jets, like, finish 0-16 and get the first overall pick, or finish, like, 4-12 and get, like, the third?
Look, I think regardless the Jets...
That's what it comes down to, because they're still going to be bad either way.
See, I don't know. Because I feel like regardless, we're not going to win games just because our team has no talent. But, see, here's the thing. I just think this team would be so much better off if Adam Gase was fired at the end of last season. But because the Jets decided to go 5-2 in their last 7 games or whatever it was last season, that gave the Jets ownership a glimmer of hope for Adam Gase to not fire him right away. They were like, okay, Darnold's still developing. He was hurt, so we were going to miss the playoffs slightly. But the fact that he showed that he was this kind of developing quarterback at the end of the season gives us some hope.
I mean, they kind of tricked us too with that, to be fair.
Oh, 100%.
We were not saying, like, high on Adam Gase 6 weeks ago, but like we also weren't going for his head 6 weeks ago either. So
it's so upsetting being a Jet fan.
Like,
so upsetting.
What was the Jets' final record last year?
7-9.
See, like, that's why, like, I wouldn't think that they would make a jump to, like, 1-15 or 2-14 no, so quickly. Like, look, it just doesn't make any sense.
I have said this so many times. The Jets should have been a wild card team last year. And they didn't deserve to be a wild card team. But the way that they were playing and the way that things went
down the stretch, more specifically, yeah.
The Jets were, what was it, 0-4 when Darnold was out with mono because they had Luke Falk in at quarterback. Who the hell is Luke
Falk? I mean, if
Falk?
You finish a season 7-5, like, that's not something to ride home about.
So, first off, they go 0-4 without Darnold, so that's 4 out of the 9 losses. And then 2 more of those losses are to an, I think it was an 0-7 Miami and an 0-11 Cincinnati. How do you lose to 0-11 team when you have some sort of hope for your end of the season? That's so embarrassing. I'm pretty sure it wasn't even a close game. I'm going to look that up real quick. Cincinnati's game against the Jets last year. So that final score was 22-6. The Jets scored 2 field goals in a game against an 0-11 team. How do you allow that to happen?
Yeah, you're right about that. Like, I never thought about it from, like, the point of view of, like, they could have been a wild card team, because obviously I didn't follow them as nearly as closely as you did. But, like, that makes sense to me. Like, You lost games to bad teams. That's what happens to young teams when they don't come in prepared. And that sucks. And that's a lot on the coaching too. But you started off 0-4 without Darnold, and you finished 7-5. And realistically, you could have finished 9-3. I don't know if the Jets make the playoffs on 9-7, but that's definitely something to write home about. And then you trade Jamal Adams and the Le'Veon Bell saga, and it's just now the team's completely demoralized and – you just, like, can't help but think, like, what happened, you know? Like, what went wrong to you, do you think, in the span of 6 or 7 months in the offseason that made the Jets go from, like, being on the edge of being a contender and just being now a basement dweller again?
I thought that the Jets had a decent offseason. I think that the Jets kind of got screwed over towards the end with the whole Jamal Adams thing. But they were able to get a good return back. But you can't trade away your team leader and expect to put up the same numbers that you would have. Because right now, you got Bradley McDougal back, who, don't get me wrong, has been very solid in terms of replacing Jamal. He's put up decent numbers. He's been beat a few times, but he hasn't been horrible. But you're trading away the best player that this Jets team has drafted. And this is probably – Jamal Adams was the best Jets player since Darrelle Revis.
I agree. That's obvious.
Jamal Adams had that kind of star power, and he was more of a leader than Revis as well. Jamal was able to hype up the locker room. Jamal was the team's main guy. So having him go out and trash the team, say that he's not happy where he is, that he wants to be traded, and then gets traded, that's the worst possible thing to happen for the moral of the team. Like, all the entire team probably lost some sort of hope there already, some confidence, whatever. And then obviously there was still some sort of rallying around Darnold and Le'Veon and everything. But when you get blown out week one by the Bills, it's not going to really change much. And I believe that that's all because of Gase. That's Gase being able to, right now, the fact that Gase is able to call the plays is absurd, because he's the type of person to, oh, I don't know, maybe run the ball with Frank Gore on 2nd and 26 and just not go for it on 4th and 1s, even though you're down by, there's so many examples. There's so much hardship in this team. If I had to pinpoint one spot where it went wrong, hiring Adam Gase. If you want a better spot than that recently, I don't know. I couldn't tell you, because honestly, the Jets didn't do terrible this offseason. Like I was saying, Jets had a decent draft. Free agency was a little weak, but they really didn't have that kind of opportunity because there wasn't any big names. It's so upsetting.
Yeah, I'm trying to pinpoint a little bit here. Like, when your best – here's the thing. Greg Williams, I would assume, probably trusted Gase more than his players, which is – it's hard to play devil's advocate in that situation. But, like, when your best player comes out and he's saying all that, like, that's got to tell you something about, like, the culture of, like, maybe what's going on in the locker room. And, like, yeah, football players tend to be overdramatic sometimes, but, like, we're seeing now, obviously, that he was right. So,
I think that if Jamal Adams went about this the right way, if Jamal Adams at the very beginning, instead of whining on social media and like liking cryptic tweets, that kind of thing, and then attacking the Jets organization, if he attacked Gase first,
then it would have been a different story, I think.
I think that right now, if he attacked Gase instead of attacking the Jets as a whole, this would be a completely different story. I think Adam Gase would be gone, and I think the Jets would be 500 team. I'm not saying that the Jets would be a good team, but I think that instead of being 0-6, they could be at least 2-4, 3-3.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, like, I just don't understand. Like, you lost your best player, but like, it almost seems like all the talent on the roster, it's like it's just gone. Like, there's no talent left, and like, that comes down to the culture of the coaching, I think. Like, it's just the culture in that locker room is just demoralized. Like, they just feel like losers, I would bet. And yeah, that's on Adam Gase. I agree. Who do the Jets play next week? Buffalo, right?
The Jets play next week. I believe it's the – no, it was supposed to be the Chargers. Now it's
– everything gets switched around.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. No, it is the Bills. You're right. They play the Bills at home, and then they travel to Kansas City.
Well, those are two very hard games to win.
No, I think they'll win it.
I mean,
I've said it so many times. It's such a Jets thing for them to beat Kansas City. It's going to happen.
You did say that. We went on a football show with our friend Zoe and Alex on Sunday morning, and we were talking about that, and Anthony has now laid down the prediction officially that the Jets are going to win in Kansas City in 2 weeks.
Because look, right now,
that now, because when it happens, I'm not going to be surprised.
The Jets are in a terrible spot right now. There's going to be reports leading up to the week that Adam Gase might get fired, that the management isn't happy with his whatever.
I thought that they already decided they're going to like ride it out with him, because I've seen like a lot of different like reports, but like,
I don't think you can ride it out with him at this point.
I'd be shocked if – I don't know how many more losses he can take before they realize something's wrong, because none of these games are even particularly close for the most part.
No, I completely agree. It's all blowouts. I mean, look at
their – have a minus 110 point differential after 6 weeks is the all-time worst.
Every single loss from this season has been 10 points or more.
Yeah, it's not even close. Like – the Colts game, who did they play on Thursday night? Was that the Colts or the Broncos? I forgot. They're both Peyton Manning teams.
The Thursday night game was the Broncos.
I mean, that game, they had the lead in the last few minutes, but, like, yeah, you knew they were going to lose somehow.
No, I knew that they were going to lose. And I do stand corrected there. I said the wrong thing. They did lose by 9 that game, but it still wasn't a close game. They still had an opportunity, but then they let it go. And I believe that that's the play caller's fault, who happens to be Mr. Adam Gase.
Yeah, and also, being the head coach is not only just calling the plays and this and that. It's also getting your team prepared to win and getting your team confident that they can win. And if you're 0-6 and getting blown out every week, he hasn't done that job well either.
Not at all.
So, I mean, like, it comes down to the fact that, like, obviously the Jets play in the same division as the Patriots, but the Jets haven't won the division in almost 20 years. They've had a revolving door of quarterbacks for the last 50 years. Like,
yeah,
it's just, when's it going to be like, I don't understand how you can have talent like Bell and Adams and then just screw it up because you have a crappy coach. Like, that's just typical. Like, I don't know. You have to understand, like, you have to do better. Like, that's on management too. Gase stinks, but that's on management as well. Look, and ownership.
Taking out the Broncos game, because that was a bit of an outlier just because, I don't know, the entire Broncos team was hurt and you still lost by 9, but I'm just not going to count that. The Jets plus minus has been, or let's say points scored at points allowed, they have scored 47 points in those 5 games and have given up 148.
Yeah, and it's still bad. It's still 75 to 185 when you include that. That's, which is still atrocious.
Insane.
Like, that's like, bad high school football teams don't lose by that much. Like, it's
embarrassing.
It is bad. It's really bad. Like, it's really bad. And I didn't think that this, like, I knew that, like, coming into the season for both the Jets and Giants, for that matter, like, I wasn't particularly confident anyone, like, being great. But, like, this is, like, embarrassing to, like, a level that, like, the Jets haven't even seen yet. Like, this is bad.
This is the worst season that I've ever seen.
This is, yeah, this is bad. Like, because, like, I'm trying to draw comparisons here. It's like the Giants are 1-5, but, like, they have young players to be excited about. Like, Blake Martinez and James Bradbury have been Pro Bowl caliber in their positions as free agent signings. Daniel Jones, although makes a lot of mistakes, he's certainly not good at mistake-free football. He's shown that he's more than just Eli Manning 2.0. He's an actual athlete. He's big. He's strong. I'd like to see him throw a little more. Like, the Giants have talent on their roster, and they're 1-5. The Jets are 0-6, and the way they've been playing, it doesn't look like they're going to get a win anytime soon.
The Giants have hope.
The Giants have pieces. The Giants have some pieces to a big puzzle. They have some pieces. The Jets have lost every piece, it seems like, except for maybe their quarterback. And we don't even know if he'll be around next year either, because they keep losing. Trevor Lawrence is going to be a Jet.
100%. I mean, look, if I'm Trevor Lawrence, I'm staying in college one more
year. People have been saying that. I really don't think he is.
No, because, I mean, look, right now, if he stays in college for another year, he's still going to get drafted by the Jets when they go 0-16 next year.
I mean, that's one way of looking at it, but I really don't think that – I really think that regardless of who is first overall, whether it's the Giants or the Falcons or the Jets – I still think that Lawrence is going to go to the NFL, and I still think that no matter who is there, just for the value's sake, I think that they're going to pick Trevor Lawrence.
I hope so.
He's just too good.
Just something new, bro. That's like, all I want.
He's so highly touted. Like, people are talking about him in, like, generational ways, which is
I need some hope for the next generation as a Jet fan. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, I mean –
because it's so rough right now.
There's really just not much else to say. Like, the Jets just keep losing. They lost to the Dolphins.
It's laughable.
Are the Dolphins even good?
They're okay. They're not a bad team, but they're not
good. I mean, look how they started last season, and how they've turned it around and made good draft decisions.
That's what the Jets need to do.
And they have a whole new culture. Like, you can turn it around. It's just like you got to pick the right guys to be running your team, and right now the Jets – don't have that.
Exactly. So until then, we are stuck in the same spot that we've been in the past 5 years, but right now it's even more of a gaping hole than it was.
Yeah. Yep. All right, well, I guess that's all we really have to talk about. I mean, two big divisional games next week for the Giants and Jets. Hopefully the Giants win. I mean, I don't know. We need to get the Giants into some competitive football here, maybe, hopefully, because, like, as you guys see, like, there's no baseball on, or the World Series is on, but I don't want to talk about the World Series right now.
I'm like, yeah, the Astros are out.
I'm glad the Astros lost, don't get me wrong, but I really hope the Dodgers sweep the Rays.
Yeah, I get that.
So, and then, yeah, hockey and basketball are over. We really – I mean, hopefully we get some interesting Knicks or Rangers news, but that's not looking like that's going to really happen.
Not anytime soon, I don't think.
It's kind of a dead period. Actually, the draft will be soon. So we can bitch and moan about the next pick in a few weeks. But what if we traded up for LaMelo Ball?
Look, right now I have more faith in the Knicks than I do the Jets. And that's
well, that's thing. Just recency bias. We haven't seen the Knicks play since March. That's what you got to remember. Like, we stink. Stop it.
I know that we stink, but I can't see any team in any sport right now being in a worse spot than the Jets.
When is the NBA draft? That's soon, right? Because we need that.
I was about to say July, but
No, not July. Wednesday, November 18th. Oh, that's still a month away. I mean, we're definitely not going to talk about the election, so don't even ask. Because no, someone actually asked me the other day, like, you should talk about the election on your show, and I was like,
yeah, that'll end well.
No, we're not talking about the election.
No politics on Big Apple Sports Media.
No election. We're not even gonna address it.
Big Apple
if Kanye wins, we'll address it in 2 weeks. But
oh yeah, of course. I mean,
otherwise we're not addressing it. Cool. Let's just I'll do my socials before we wrap it up. I'm at Kyle Keegan, but the L is a one, Kai1eKeegan on Instagram and Twitter. And if you want to follow us for the show, it is at Big Apple Sports Media on Instagram and at Big Apple SP Media on Twitter. Take it away, Anthony.
I'm Anthony Evangelista 7 on Instagram and Anthony EV 7 on Twitter.
Perfect.
So that's all we got for today. Hopefully there's
I hope we get good news. Like, I don't know, a Giants win would be awesome for next time we record.
Yeah, so
And hopefully you guys will see a vlog of me at the game.
That's what I was about to say.
We're pretty sure that we're going. So I don't know. We'll upload that. Probably maybe we'll make a YouTube or something. But yeah, that could be some good fun content. If the Giants get curb stomped, I'm not going to want to do it. But we'll see what happens.
We'll see. We'll check Big Apple Sports Media on Instagram. That'll be our main spot for posting, whether that be on our Instagram story, something in the link in bio, that kind of thing. But
you guys will see it. You guys will see it.
Thank you guys all for listening. Thank you for tuning in. And we'll see you next time.
Thanks, guys.